Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for faithful is he that promised. Let us hold fast our faith. Part of holding fast of our faith is being with other believers and assembling ourselves together, saying, you know what, this is my faith. Sunday is the day here in America that most people go to church. It's the time we set aside for corporate worship, which is very important. Because as you heard the girls sing, and we all feel this way, we put on our dress and our Sunday perfume, squirt, squirt, and our Sunday jewelry and our Sunday face, and inside we are a mess. Inside we are battling depression, we are battling addiction, we are battling sometimes suicidal thoughts, we are battling oppression, we are battling fear, we're battling a lot of things. And it's good to be in church because guess what? The person beside you, they're battling something too. There ain't nobody in the sanctuary got it all together, I promise you. We all are having a battle of our lives. But isn't it good to know we're battling together? How many former soldiers we got in this sanctuary? Raise your hand. If you were in the service, raise your hand. We got some soldiers, right? Wasn't it good to be in a troop together? It's a lot better being a troop together than me out there by yourself, wasn't it? It's good to know you got comrades that y'all use the expression, I've got your back. I'm watching you. We're together in this. We're on a team right now. What's bad for you is bad for you. What's good for you is good for, what's bad for you is bad for me. What's good for you is good for me. And I think about this. Church is a place that we can encourage one another. It's a place that we can experience God in a different way than we do in our living room. Why do we go to live ball games? And before any of you hypocrites say, I don't go no games. You go to something. We'll get to that in a minute. But for some of you that like going to a live ball game, and I've been to many ball games, not many, but some live, and I do enjoy the atmosphere. Even Melanie, who doesn't know a baseball from a soccer ball, she enjoys the atmosphere. When you walk into a basketball arena or a football stadium, thousands of people, or a concert, we like our concerts, right? Whether, whatever it is, what your thing is, country, Christian, rock, whatever, you've been to a concert before, and there's nothing like 10 or 20,000 people singing the same song together. It gives chills up and down your bones. Something happens there. Why do we enjoy that? Man, I've been to concerts, they break out the cell phone lights, right? Okay, Nancy Rose, thanks for that tidbit of information. You do the cell phones. I love our family. You do the cell phone lights. And everybody is singing. Everybody got their eyes closed. They got their hands raised. And they're raising them in the air like they don't care. You know they're doing And man, we got folks in church that is too embarrassed to show God any kind of emotion. But you go to a ball game or a concert, and that's why you go. I've never go to a game and walk in the football stadium and say, you know what, I'm going to sit here and not cheer or nothing. I'm going to sit in my seat, eat my nachos, drink my Sprite, and not say a word. What fun is that? Stay at home. I like going to a game where I can yell, I can cheer, I can high-five the drunk guy I don't know beside me because he don't care. We're just winning. Hallelujah. That's all that matters. In church, we're on the same team. When we come together, your jerseys are Living Word family. That's your jerseys. We are family. Grandma Barbara, Mama Melanie. We are family. Man, we're family. And so we come to serve a purpose. And there's something, like when y'all were singing Glorious Day or Hallelujah. Doesn't that do something here? Other voices lifting the name of God up? You don't get that in your living room. All you hear is your voice, which sometimes may not be that good. But when you hear everybody's voice together, you're like, man, I hear Stacy singing about my God. I hear Shannon singing about my God. I hear Nancy Rose with her lighter singing about God. I'm like, man, and don't break no lighters out, church. We don't want to catch no fire in here. Thank God. It's something about lifting our voices, holding our faith, profession without wavering, because God has promised. Just like Jewel said, the church she went to, and I very well know it's for sale. I've seen it for sale. You know, the pastor was too old apparently, right? Well, now it's closed. How do you like that? It's just closed now. So we see this happening. where churches will close. Preachers will fail you. Church may hurt you. The deacon may not smile at you. The other person may offend you, but God is faithful to you. God ain't going to fail you. God will never forsake you, and God will never leave you. And every church door closes, God don't close. God is open 24/7 all the time. So hold on to that faith. Next verse, 24. And let us consider one another. There's a concept. Let us consider one another. It's not all about me. Well, I don't want to go to church. Well, I've got other things to do. Well, I'd rather do this. Well, it's my day off, but it's my special time. What about someone else that may need you here and see your face? I get a lot of compliments about Anna. Where's Anna at? Oh, hey, Anna. You're just sit over here. I get a lot of folks that know you because you stay at the door, and they'll say, I just love that Anna. She greets with a smile every time I come in. What if Anna wasn't there? What if Anna Banana wasn't standing outside them doors? She would not have that purpose of smiling and greeting people. And they would miss her. Well, nobody misses me. Not that attitude. Get a good attitude. Yes, we need each other. And it says to consider one another, to provoke unto love. And we know what provoke means, right? It means push the buttons. I provoke Melanie all the time. Provoke her, but not in a good way. I provoke her. We should provoke each other unto love and to good works, to stir each other up, to build each other up. Man, you can do it. Come on, I believe in you. I'm for you. I'm supporting you. The church family is so differently, dynamically different than any other family, because the church family is an even playing field, or it should be. It's not in all churches, but it should be in the church of God. It should be in His house where it's an even playing field, to where when you walk in the doors, no matter how you look, what color your skin is, what nationality you are, what you did Saturday night, what you didn't do Saturday night, what if you're a liberal or a conservative, if you're gay or if you're straight, when you walk in these doors, our job as Christians is to provoke one another unto love and to stir the gifts that's within all people and say, this is a safe place for you to be loved, period. Because I'm not your judge. And thank God y'all aren't my judge. Would you want Doc being your judge? Doc, would anybody here go to heaven if it's up to you? Would anybody go to heaven if it's up to you? Aren't you glad he ain't your judge? Because we limit how we love based on what we see. Let's see Christ and see who He is. Then all of a sudden the limitations come off. And we're like, I can love you no matter what you look like, where you come from, or whatever. I had someone at the funeral home the other day come to me, an employee, and tell me, he said, James, I've noticed you treat everybody, no matter how they act, you treat them the same. You treat everybody the same. And I said, well, I try to treat everybody the same. That's who I am. That's what God will want. I shouldn't treat someone different because they got money or whether they're dirt poor. I should treat them the very same way. I shouldn't treat them different whether they're, a fruitcake, just loony, or whether they're an engineer. Treat people the same. The only exception that I make on this rule is I do not treat Duke fans the same. Other than that, everybody else, man, I am even keel, I promise. Let us consider one another to provoke one another to good works. And then the next verse, this talks about us here this morning. Apparently this was a problem then, and the author is trying to remind us. It says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Don't forsake this. Don't forsake the local church. Don't think that coming to church don't matter. And we can use a million excuses. People use all kinds of excuses about, all they want is my money. Well, this is a church, that ain't the truth, because I never talk about money. That ain't this church. Well, they're judging me. Well, they're judging you walking through Walmart, but it don't stop you from going there. And they're judging you going to the movie theater to watch Lion King, and it don't stop you from going there. And they're judging you going into Logan's, and it sure don't stop you from throwing peanut shells all over the floor. You don't care what they think. Who cares? This is all excuses of the enemy that he puts in our heads to keep us from the blessing that God has in this particular setting. This is a setting God created. Would it be any fun to go to a ball game at Bank of America Stadium where the Panthers play and there'd be 20 people in there? Hello? Hey! Now when they come out, yeah, we're going to cheer for them. 20 voices. That would be horrible. Horrible. Church, when we come together and we're lifting up the name of the Lord together, man, it creates something in the atmosphere that wasn't there before. Because all of a sudden there's unity of praise lifting up our Heavenly Father. And that name is being declared and encouragement is being declared. And when you see someone else getting a blessing, guess what? That can bless you. You see someone else being touched by God, that can touch you. It is, I'm going to tell you, being in church together can become contagious. And that's a good thing. Do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some, but we are to exhort. The word exhort is a funny word we don't use anymore. Nobody goes around saying that. Do you ever tell anybody that at the nursing home? I'm going to exhort you today. They'd be freaking out, wouldn't they? What does that mean? Exhort. Exhort means to build up, to encourage, to be a cheerleader. You know, you can do this. It's to help strengthen someone's life. We are to exhort one another, not tear each other down. There's enough of that all around of tearing down. But the church should be building up in the image of God, pointing people to the one who overcame all things. Encourage, exhort, build up, cheerlead on. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Every day we live, we're closer to the day of the trumpet sounding. And we should be encouraging one another, stay the course, keep the faith. Everything is good. God hadn't changed. The world's changed. People's lost their minds. You may not agree with the moral, you know, atmosphere of what's happening, but just stay focused and stay grounded and keep your eyes on Jesus and build each other up to stay focused. Man, it's so hard to stay focused. We are in the Dory generation, I call it. Right? Dory generation. You tell somebody something, and then they forget 10 minutes later what you told them. And I know I'm that way some too, because it's because I'm a deep thinker. I'm not shallow, I'm deep. So sometimes the shallow things roll off, but I'm deep. I listen. I really do. Deep down, I listen. But if you've seen the cartoon Dory, you know, I've got short-term memory loss. You know, she don't know. We're in that generation, man. We can't focus on nothing. We get itchy. Can't watch a video all the way through. Can't hear a song all the way through. Can't watch an episode all the way through. Can't sit in church for 30 minutes. I mean, we are ADD to the extreme. But you know what? God understands that, and he knows that. And we are to encourage one another and to be here to help do that. Church still has a purpose. We're a family that brings hope. Yes. And that brings healing to the lives that are broken. That's what we're here for. That's what a church should be. That's why we're here. Our mission statement, you know, we're a place to, you know, to bring hope to the hopeless, healing to the sick, deliverance to the bound, peace and joy to those with fear and sorrow. We are a living word. This is a living word for a living people. The word's alive. Now, what's so important? What can I gain from church? Look at the next verse. This is in Isaiah 55:1. The prophet says here, he uses an analogy here to give us a visual. Everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. And you that hath no money, come, buy and eat, but come. Buy wine and milk without money. He's given an analogy and without price. He's given an analogy of going to the marketplace and being able to get something. What would you get if it didn't cost you anything? And then he goes to the next verse to let you know this doesn't fulfill you, but this will. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently, listen closely to me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. This is the invitation of the gospel. The prophet is saying, I've got what you need, and it won't cost you a thing. Here's the thing I hear all the time. I'm just not ready to change my life. Look, just come and drink the water and just trust God. That's all you got to do. Trust God. Some folks get it overnight. Some of y'all take a long time. Some of y'all are a work in progress to be continued, and that's okay. God is working still on you. The prophet is saying, come and eat and drink what I've got, because you're spending and laboring for things that don't satisfy. We can go out and fill our lives with the world, and it feels good for a while. I ain't gonna lie. We know sin can feel good, and sin can bring pleasure. But then sin has a price to pay. And then we're left bitten with that sin, and we're left scarred with that sin, and we feel still empty because nothing is there to satisfy the most important part of us, and that's the spiritual part. Why are we running away from what we should be running to? Man, God has got his arms open wide, and God has the exact bread for your life that you need. Because my loaf's going to look different than your loaf, but it's got the loaf you need. So God, here I am. Will you fill me with what you have for me? He's offered to pour this gift upon all that will come to him. This is the purpose of the church, to bring this offering about, to present it. Here's the gospel. Here is Jesus. Here is grace. Here is mercy. Here is hope. Here is healing. Here is power. Do you want it, or do you want the world more? Because the world don't satisfy. Because everything in this world is going to pass away. But the word of God will never pass away. Never pass away. We lose our youth. We can lose our health. We can lose our home. We can lose our spouse. We can lose our children. We can lose everything in this world. But thank God I don't lose the eternal life that Jesus gave me on a cross called Calvary. It's everlasting life, which means it goes beyond this life. It goes beyond what I see and hear. It goes beyond all measurement of what I know is the kingdom of God. That's what's important. And that's what I want God to give me. Because, man, I'm empty. The people struggle so much trying to feel. It's like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. We're trying to put the world in a place that's only made for God. And that's why it don't work. That's why we're still. I'm not saying that we get Jesus, everything's a smooth ride, man. There's no problems. Hakuna Matata, baby. I ain't saying that. But what I am saying is when you have God, you have help. And you have eternal hope. And no matter what weapon forms against you, you have a God in you now that helps fight that for you. You're not alone no more. Man, you've got the Holy Spirit filling you, indwelling you, helping you, showing you, guiding you, teaching you, protecting you, fighting for you. Next verse. Incline your ear. Listen up. Listen to what I'm saying. And come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. We have a life beyond this. This is not it. Many think that we just live a few years and that we die and we become dirt and that's just all that we ever know. But what would be the point of that? I mean, even the natural mind should think, what would be the point of going through all of the stuff we go through and this be all we ever have? There's no point in that. But there is a point to everlasting life. He says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. If you come to me, it's everlasting. I'm not going to break it. I'm not going to be like people in your life that break your trust or that hurt you or offend you. I'm going to love you no matter what. Christians need to hear this message because a lot of Christians don't love somebody no matter what. They say they do in their religious talk, but they don't do it in their actions. They treat people differently. They treat them coldly. They want to excommunicate them. They want to say, you don't belong here no more, or you really hurt me. Boo hoo. Look what Jesus went through. My goodness. He was hurt beyond hurt. He went through pain beyond pain, yet he endured that because he saw something ahead in time called you. That we were worth the price. We were worth the cost. He makes an everlasting covenant, which means it never ends. And a covenant means contract. How does this contract come about? Through the signing of his blood. Through the spilt blood of Jesus that sealed this contract that tells me I'm his and he's mine forever. Even the sure mercies of David, I believe it says. Yes, sure mercies of David. Go to the next verse. This is my last verse. We'll close out this verse. Matthew 5, this is the Beatitudes Jesus talks about. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of God. For those that know they have a need, God can fill that need. For those who come to him realizing I'm empty, they can be filled. Fortunate is the man that's actually empty, because now God can do something in his life. Don't be like a Pharisee that says, I have no need of this. I'm okay. I'm going through all the religious stuff. Pastor, I go to church some, and I do this some, and I pray some, and I'm okay. Denying that really in spirit you're poor and you're broken. You're not satisfied. You're not filled. You know, it's like when you eat a big old lunch on Sunday. You go home and take that big old nap. You go in that, what they call that food coma, right? Oh, I mean, you just get so sleepy. And you just, I mean, you knock out like a drunk on Saturday night. Just gone. I mean, you just knock out. Because you're full. You're satisfied. You ever had that thing where you crave a certain food? I'm craving some chocolate right now. Man, I'm just craving some Mexican right now. I'm just craving some Chinese right now. I'm just craving a cup of coffee right now. I'm just craving a daylight donut. Man, I'm just craving one. You're craving that. And then when you get that, it's like, I'm craving some sweet tea from McDonald's right now. And you just suck on that stuff till you about float away. Man. When we start craving the things of God, guess what? He gives us our desire. And then we're satisfied with something that goes with us. McDonald's tea runs out. Daylight donut runs out. But man, the grace and mercy and power of God does not ever run out. That satisfies me. Blessed, happy, fortunate is the man that's poor in spirit, because they can get something out of it. Next verse. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who say, I'm sorry for who I am and what I've done. And God, I need more than where I'm at. I'm surrendering, God. I'm not happy with where I'm at. God, do you have more for me? God gives us more when we desire that. But he's not going to push himself upon you. You've got to have a desire to want the things of God. The world has so much competition against the church right now, against Christians, against our time. And it's like I say, and I'm not trying to be bitter, I'm not being angry, I'm not being sarcastic, I'm just being honest this morning, because we are celebrating 17 years of ministry and church still matters. But here's the thing. If we want to be in church, we'll be in church. It's just that simple. Because we sure go everywhere else. Well, I don't like to come out when it's raining. You won't be in the house all day. If it's, I promise you, y'all still go to Walmart. You'll go get your mess at the drugstore. You'll go get gas in your car. You'll do something even when it's raining. It's about, where's my spirit? What do I desire? Do I really want to be filled with the things of God, or does it really even matter anymore? Church and the family of God still matters in 2019. It matters. We had little, she's not here this morning, we had little Zoe Goodwin come Wednesday night. It so touched my heart. She's 17 now. She's Ed's daughter. Ed bought the girls when they were little. And she came Wednesday night on her own, drove from Taylorsville as a 17-year-old girl, said, I haven't been in church in a while, I wanted to be here, and came to church Wednesday night at 17 years old. That so touched me. She had a desire to be here. And I'm going to tell you something, church. I'm going to tell you this. This is not the church to come to if you want to be entertained. I'm not going to compromise the world. I'm not going to give out raffle tickets and give away TV to get you to come to church. We're not going to center everything either around the kids. Kids are important, and we do things for kids. But you know what? People my age are important too. People Linda's age is important. People's Doc age is even still important. I mean, there's got to be stuff for everybody, and we shouldn't have to throw out, and I know we're doing this event today because we are celebrating and we are doing an outreach to let people know, hey, we're here. We want you to be part of our family. But from day to day, we don't need flashing lights and rock shows for the anointing of God to show up. We just need the Holy Spirit. That's enough. If we just say, God, you be in this place, God's in this place. And that's all you need. We've got other young people here. We've got teenagers. We've got other people that want to hear. You know, Ashley, every week at 17, most weeks, she might not be today because her boyfriend's here with his arm around her. Probably blocking her thing, but, you know, what she does. But she takes notes most time. I'll see her back there. She takes, my 70-year-old daughter is writing down notes of what I'm teaching and preaching about. Taking notes. Some of y'all can't stay awake. She's taking notes at 17, which touches my heart, having a desire. And then she'll tell me about it afterwards, what I preached about, and recap things that I said. I've got a daughter who now is in Florida at 24 who's connected to a church down there who is becoming very active, and her relationship has grown to such a deeper level. She went on her first kind of little outreach trip with the young people at her church this week for 3 days. They went away out of town, and she was one of the chaperones of some girls. And now she is taking the ministry to a new level in her life. It's that important to her. She was so miserable for so long because she could not find a church. She says, Dad, I love it here, but I can't find a church. I'm so incomplete. And now that she's found her church, we have lost her forever, and that is fine because we know she still loves us, and she is connected and serving God. And just told me last night, if I can share this, told me last night that one of the youth ministers has asked her to be a co-leader of a youth group down there now. So she is continuing her ministry. And the church she is in is a very diverse church. It has Hispanics, it has blacks, it has whites, it has a very diverse church, which is incredible, which is awesome, which, you know, we have always encouraged even here that we want a very diverse church because, man, it's about humanity, period. I mean, it's about humanity. Jesus died for humanity. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, which includes every nation, every tribe, includes everybody. He so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I'm so proud of Christian and the work she's doing down in Florida. Your church is in what town? Is it Kissimmee? It's in Orlando. So it's in Orlando down there she's in. So I am so happy and thankful. It's a pretty big church she's in. You have several hundred people in that church, right? 800 people. So she's in a big church, you know, and you know, God used Living Word Ministries to lay the foundation for where God has her now. And I am so proud of her. I am proud of my other daughter as well. She's not taking notes today, but it's okay. Nick's got his arm around her. That's all right. Next verse. Last verse. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let me talk about that just for a minute. We'll get out of here. Just for a minute. The world is trying to figure out righteousness, aren't they? What makes me righteous? The Catholics, if I go to Mass so many times, confess my sins, I'm righteous. For some other more conservative groups, if I shout hallelujah, talk in tongues, and lay on the floor, I'm righteous. For the Baptist, the Methodist, if I make a certain profession, and I say the Lord's Prayer, and I do it just right, and I'm at the altar, then I'm righteous. Whatever reasons we try to figure out, how do I become righteous? For some, it's like, you know what? I don't steal, I don't kill, I don't cheat. I'm a good old country boy. I'm honest, I'm faithful like a hound dog on a porch. You know? Then I'm righteous. The only way we're righteous is to accept the righteousness that's in Christ. Period. It's not about what we do to become righteous. It's about what Jesus did to make us righteous. We are righteous, the Bible says. We are the righteousness of God. Him that knew no sin became sin, that James Lewis could become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Not about what I do, about what He did. But we got a lot of folks still struggling, trying to define and figure out righteousness. And they fill it with this, but it doesn't satisfy. But blessed are those that truly hunger to stand before God and be in God right. You will be filled. The Bible says it. He says it. They shall be filled. Most of us don't answer this out loud. Let's just play it along with this. Most of us don't eat when we're not hungry. Right? Not supposed to. If you're not hungry, you don't eat. If you're not thirsty, you don't drink. If you're not dirty, you don't take a shower. Right? So if you're not hungry for the things of God, you're not going to be filled. I'm not hungry for it. And my prayer is that we become hungry for the things of God in this world in 2019. Because we got a lot of things for God still going on that are positive and that are good. And the word of God is still spreading and people are still being saved, baptized, and filled with the Holy Power, Holy Spirit. That's still happening. God ain't changed. And whatever happens in the next future, and I've told my parents this, I've shared it with you guys, it's important you young mothers, you young fathers that have smaller kids, like the ones that are here this morning, that you make church a part of their culture. Because I'm telling you, when the baby boomers are off the earth, and there are many, if you're a baby boomer, not ashamed of it, stand up. If you're considered a baby boomer, stand up. Keep on standing. You got more. Stand up. Baby boomers, stand up. Don't be ashamed. Baby boomer starts 1946. Born in 1946. Or old, right? 46 to 64. If you're born between 46 and 64. Look at this. We got 1, 2, 3. Sorry, Rodney. 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. About 20 of y'all. Now look at this. This is just this. I know that those kids aren't baby boomers back here. Y'all know that. But look at this, people standing up. This is the baby boomer generation. My concern is when this age group is off the earth, what will the church landscape look like? Y'all be seated. Thank you, baby boomers. And thank you for being the greatest generation. Or something like that. Anyway, I worry what it'll look like because, man, right, I messed you up, didn't it, brother? I'm so sorry. He just learned today he's a baby boomer. Oh, my God. I'm Generation X. If you're Generation X, stand up. If you know that. That's born between 1965 and 82, I think. Generation X. That's me. Generation. Look at all these Generation Xers. Look at us. Everybody do the X. Woo, we rock. Okay, y'all sit down. It's important the next generation understands the importance of church culture. I know with social media, that consumes our times. I see kids like Peyton, oh, he has them out now, who never has his headphones out of his ears. And that's the norm at the table, playing games, not even looking up at the server when people come by to talk to them, not looking at their parents, burying their screens. We need to teach our children the importance of church culture, listening to the Word of God, being a part of worship. That's why we changed our structure and have older kids now sit out and worship so they can experience what's happening in here. Because they need to. These kids, 9 and 10, believe it or not, have a desire more than you realize to hear the things of God. They have a desire. I've seen several of these kids very emotional in worship as God is touching their lives. That's important. It's not about just playing games and going on the jumbo slide and having cookies for the kids and, you know, here's what people ask me all the time. Do you have anything in your church for kids? Yeah. Jesus. So we got for kids? Jesus. Do I need anything else? I mean, here's the thing. I know we got to reach them. I get that. But church, come on. Let the power of God, His love, His mercy, His anointing fill the place to where your 10-year-old don't need a cookie in his hand. He wants a Bible in his hands to read what God is saying to them. There's still power in that. Had someone leave the church years ago because someone in the nursery did not give their kid a cookie. Honest to goodness story. They got mad and left the church because their kid didn't get a cookie in the nursery. Church, we got to get some priorities straight. I'll take all them cookies out of the nursery. Well, none of y'all get no cookies. I mean, we're too shallow, man. My Lord, church still matters 2019. Huh? No, Stacy, stay out of the nursery. Don't let Stacy go to the nursery and get them cookies. Gracious. Should never let that out of the bag. Christian, are you going to do your other song this morning? You're not? Okay. Okay, Chris is going to do a song Wednesday night, so y'all be here for that. But anyway, come on up, Margaret, get ready to, we'll just play a, offering song. Before the ushers come, I want to make some announcements on what's happening this afternoon. We have three slides out there, three inflatables. We got a moon bounce, we got a slide, we got a basketball shoot. I need parents to be parents, please. No abuse, no half killing them. Not while I'm watching. But please watch your kids, because there's nobody out there as far as from the Mr. Bounce teams. We got from the company's called Mr. Bounce. Ain't that cool? But I need parents to kind of, you know, keep an eye on your kids. For children, take your shoes off. Use any of the equipment. Shoes have to be off. No sharp objects in your pocket. They could hurt. They could damage it. And we're responsible for that. So no sharp objects. Shoes off. No, you know, rough housing. Be respectable. You can bounce and jump and have a good time. But, you know, this isn't the what's that? In the, no, the ring fighting. Yeah, MAA, whatever. It ain't that. So keep it calm. And parents, know where your kids are at. Just you know, you got to watch them the whole time. And just make sure you know where they're at, and don't let them be respectful, because we are responsible for this equipment if something happens to it. But anyway, it's going to be a fun day. We've got, like I said, hot dogs, sides, desserts. We got bottled water, soft drinks, sweet tea. And for you that I don't understand this, but whatever, we have coffee. Okay, it's 110 degrees index, and Ralph's wanting coffee. That's okay, whatever. All I know, y'all, is I'm hot enough without no coffee up in here. And y'all can take that any way you want. But we'll have all that. Usher, come on up here. Manny, come up here on the drums for me. Presence to pray for this offering. We just pray you bless it and use it for your glory. We thank you for the institution of church. God, the church family, church community is so important. We edify each other. We strengthen each other, God. We pray for each other. We encourage each other. And if we're not here, we can't do none of those things. We thank you that you established a community for believers to be a part of and unbelievers to come to find hope and healing and salvation and grace. Lord, I thank you for 17 years of your blessing upon this place. You have been in this place, God. This isn't about me, it's about what you have done in this place. And we are so grateful, God, for 17 years. A whole generation now has come through these doors. And we look for many more to come through. And we are thankful, God. Bless this seed as we give it to you, Lord. And we give it with honor, obedience, and love. In Jesus' name, amen.